My name is Tanaka of Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley Securities. Can you hear me? Best of regards. There are three questions that I'd like to ask, and if you could briefly reply to each, that would be appreciated. First, in regard to pre-gap in the APAC area, there was, without the Forex impact, plus 9%. But in Q3 and Q4, it's a single-digit growth. Now, you are growing, so it's not a problem, but it seems like it's a weak growth. How do you anticipate the future? Thank you very much. This is Negi, and I will reply. Compared to last year in 2021, there was large business in EMEA, but in 2022, there were not so many large projects. And there was high ROS. I see. So, considering these levels, then you will be increasing. And can we expect double-digit growth or single-digit? Well, in our assumptions, we have shown this. Then the second question, for this fiscal year's plans, you've talked about net sales and profits, and so you're looking at 213.7 billion, which is a plus 21 billion. Do you have a breakdown on how you plan to increase? The wages are going to be high because for 2022, it was about 700 persons. And we'll have a full year of wages to be paid. So this will increase things. Mr. Habara, is there more additional points? Also, there's the cloud costs. We're enhancing our SaaS business. And so therefore, for the wages, as Mr. Negi has mentioned, there's going to be an increase. And there's also the SaaS and cloud costs. And so, this should represent about 60 to 70% of the total amount. I see. Thank you. And the third question I have, this time, for the fourth quarter, the pre-gap margin was 29%, so you've got quite a recovery. I think that's a good thing, but in regard to have this reflected in the PL, what would be the timing? I think that it's going to be on a long-term basis, but how should we look at this? Well, the timing, that's difficult. For pre-gap and post-gap, it's just a matter of how you look at it, but in the case of pre-gap, there was the hardware sales that was high, and there was the deferred portion. So, on a quarterly basis, and both for pre-gap and post-gap, this has increased, and we believe that there'll be recovery from this year. Mr. Habara, do you have any comments? That's a tough question to answer. However, as Mr. Negi has mentioned, this may sound rough, but on a pre-gap basis, operating income should be focused upon. And then after deferring, then there is going to be the operating income that appears on the accounting. So in this regard, on a pre-gap basis, if we're going to try to increase the operating income, then this will lead to the post-gap increase, but there's a time lag. So it should be at longest 6 months. I see. So at longest, it'll be 6 months. And you are planning to increasing the net sales by 11%. One thing that can be said, there's the first half and the second half, and it won't be completely the same all four quarters. And I believe that we should be seeing greater improvement. I see. Thank you. Well, if I may add to that, as Mr. Negi has mentioned, on an annual forecast basis, in Q1, it may be tough. As Eva's materials indicated, there's going to be a sales kickoff, which was not held last year. This was being held for the first time for a long time, and we didn't have that cost last year, but it'll occur this year. So this will be a major factor. And then after reopening, since summer of 2022, there had hardly been any business trips in Q1 and so on, and administration costs would increase in our Q1. The cost would increase, so it'd be difficult to generate profit in Q1, but we'll generate more profits in the second half. It can be anticipated that that will be the case. Thank you very much. In regard to the kickoff meeting, how much did it cost? Negi-san? We're paying this, but consider this as being several hundred million yen. Thank you very much for the question.
When your microphone is unmuted, please state your affiliation and your name before asking your question. Yes, my name is Tsuruo. Thank you for this opportunity. First, about profitability, it's flat for this fiscal year and better in the second half. And toward the next fiscal year, if the profitability is going to increase, where do you see a bigger leverage or big factor for improvement? And as Eva-san mentioned, I know that you will be doing certain things, but can you please talk about that perspective first? Margin will improve due to productivity improvement of the individuals and also cloud cost. I think these are the two different factors that, and as Eva has mentioned, we will be making efforts to control those costs. I have two more questions. If you cannot improve the profitability, if you cannot maintain the current business level, will you abandon the policy of no laying off? As a company, what we want to do is follow this theory, and as Eva said, we're not doing this in a large scale. We don't need to. But in the end, we will have to see what happened and then respond to the situation. I see. Thank you. My third question, if possible, could you please answer the following question? Management compensation scheme. You have various indices or metrics, and how are they connected? In other words, proxy statement is usually issued, so I would like to know how this is decided. I understand that you are focused on shareholder return, but the performance is not as good, and long-term investors require certain things. Is the company really aligned to those requirements? It really depends on the management zone, but there are options and also basically that if the stock price doesn't go up, revenue doesn't go up, and also the performance-based bonus. So first is a pre-GAAP sales increase that is reflected, and also the subscription service growth. This is also reflected. If the pre-GAAP profit doesn't go up, that is not really reflected, or if a certain level of growth is not achieved, then we cannot receive this. So I believe that our view is very much aligned with those of the long-term investors. Yes, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. Now we'll unmute the next person. So if you're unmuted, please tell us your name and company. My name is Hasegawa of Morgan Stanley Securities. Can you hear me? There are three major questions I'd like to ask. First, for the net sales of 2023 in Japan, according to the material, I see the assumptions, and in Japan, there's going to be a single-digit growth. America will be 10%, and you also have the other growth rates. And in America, there's going to be macro impacts. But for this fiscal year, it seems that the outlook calls for further growth. So what are the assumptions that are the basis for the net sales forecast? Do you think that the macro impact will not be so high, or you're planning to increase sales price? So could you tell us about your thoughts in regard to the guidance for net sales? Yes, there is some macro impact that is taken into consideration, but as Eva has mentioned, we're providing much more wider services than before, and so therefore we have a bigger budget. And we're looking at the negotiations and the pipeline and our budget, and based on that, we provide the outlook. What about the impact of the price increase? Well, the price increase in Japan will be after April. And even if the price increase takes place, even if it's announced on January the 1st, there's still a period of time. And in case of new negotiations, that new price will be applied. But the impact will probably appear from the second half. So it doesn't mean that the increase will take place just because of the increase in price. Thank you very much. And then next, in regard to expenses, in regard to the wages, how many are you assuming will be recruited? Last year, it's a net increase by 650, and we believe that it'll be less than half of that. It'll depend on the macro environment and what conditions exist, but it'll be less than half of the last year's number. Next, in regard to the profit rate for 2022, in regard to per capita compensation, there seems to be an increase. So, what is the compensation per head? Your thoughts on this? And in regard to 2023, what is your forecast for per head? In regard to the expenses per head, there's a combination of different countries. There are countries where wages are high and others where the wages are low. So, in regard to a per capita basis for the overall company, that's difficult to say, but at any rate, we're looking at productivity shown over the past 2 years, and various factors are looked at, and we focus on those points, and we believe that we can anticipate greater productivity. To follow up then, for 2023, when we look at the case of other security companies, if we look at the increase in wages for 2022, then can we assume that for 2023, the things will be more stable? Well, it's hard to say but about the other companies, but in regard to our expenses and also the recruiting plans, it might be about 300 persons recruited per year. But in regard to how that will increase the situation can't really be said.
答えになってますか?
And does that answer your question?
はい、わかりました。
Yes, I understand. Thank you.
ごめんなさい。多分まだすごい柔らかい回答になっちゃうからもしれないんですけれども。
No, this may be very soft, but you are asking from 22 to 23. In the case of other companies, there's an increase in the wages, and perhaps you were asking if there's going to be a major increase in the wages like other companies, but there is not going to be such a large increase. Now, there is some inflation. 100 basis points may increase because of inflation factor.But in regard to 30% or 40% increase, we do not believe that that will take place. Thank you. So the growth rate per head will be more stable in 23 than the growth rate in 2022. There is a drive, but in 2022, as already explained,There was the Asian R&D expenses, and we had to increase because this was lower compared to the other competition. But there was no other factors in 2022. And so if we consider that there's nothing that we need to catch up to, then overall,
10% とか 20% とかっていうような昨今の状況で上がるっていうような変化率
は probably going to see an increase rate that we had seen in the past of 10% or 20%. I see. Thank you very much for the concise answer.
ご質問ありがとうございました。
Thank you.
この方のマイクのミュートを解除いたしますので
I will unmute the next person's microphone. Please state your name and affiliation. Yes, this is Sato, Jefferies Securities. Can you hear me? Yes, we can. Thank you. I have three questions. First of all, about the shareholders' return. You started a share buyback program, and historically speaking, and also speaking from the previous earnings call, 70% very high payout ratio has always been maintained, and the share buyback is basically, or shareholder return is covered by this high ratio, as was explained in the last earnings call.Now you are adding share buyback. Is this because of the request from your major shareholder? Is that why the company changed its view? That's my first question. Thank you. If we continue to have high level of cash, well, this was pointed out from before, but...Small-sized share buyback was done in the past, but according to the logic that I explained today, we believe that we have to explain this more logically. And if the return is increased, of course, we had a conversation with major shareholders, and the dividend is high, payout ratio is not bad, but if we want to do this,A share buyback should be for the capital efficiency improvement and in order to reduce the number of shares. This is the opinion that we received from the shareholder. And in the end, well, the dividend will continue as is. We are not trying to reduce the dividend. We're not changing the focus, by the way. I understand. So this was based on the discussion with your major shareholder. Yes, that's correct.
I understand.I think I also want to mention that before we consider all these shareholder returns, but during our transformation, we're not sure how is our SaaS model's profitability going to be. And there, like I say, in the past, there was lots of transformation, including the consumer products. It transformed.From the PC base to a lot of device based revenue, and also the channel transformed into a mobile channel. The profitability and all of this are different. We are not sure what this model would be. So before, we are not very aggressive in all these capital restructuring. But now I think we're more confident that we have a whole, we know what is the new profit model for SaaS, and we have a confidence that even in the SaaS model, we can continue to generate cash flow. That's why we were agreed to have this bigger, say, buyback program or shareholder returns.
Okay, thank you. で、二つ目の質問なんですけど、あの、ガイダンス、あの、今期終わった。
Second question. Thank you. And the second question about this fiscal year that just finished. There was a downward revision in the third quarter, including operating income. And in the fourth quarter, I think the landing was actually even lower than that. And I did get the impression from covering your company that it may happen, but downward revision guidance and also the fourth quarter as well as full year number, it looks like there was a gap in terms of profit again. So I want to understand what didn't work. Can you please maybe talk about the factors behind this? First of all, level of a deferral, we could not really estimate. We can talk about pre-gap, but hardware sales may be increasing. And at the end of December, there was a big sales and there was a deferral increase. That was one factor, as Habara-san mentioned. And another factor was we expect the net sales to hit a higher level. So I was, maybe we were a little bit too optimistic. And the current pre-gap is in line with the internal expectation, but we were expecting it to be a little bit higher than that. Oh, I see. Maybe we should talk about the specific numbers. As you have mentioned, Sato-san, 37 billion, this was a downward revision on the 2nd of November, 2 weeks before the Q3 announcement. And the landing was 31.3 billion, which means that this was down by 5.6 billion. And the biggest factor was, as Negi-san said, the revenue recognition difference. This was big in Q3, but the 2.4 billion, a bigger number, was posted in Q4, which was not expected. So this is the biggest factor. And then, as Negi, as I mentioned, in terms of cost, a hardware ratio is high in the sales mix, so cost of sales. And the cost of sales, this was quite big, and revenue is basically deferred, which means that the profitability has to suffer as a result of that. And this impact was going to be about 1.0 to 1.5 billion yen. So in terms of product mix, we didn't expect the cost to be so high. And another revenue recognition perspective, going back to the first point, when Q3 earnings announcement and the revision was made, there was like 1 week in between. And the revenue recognition impact was about 800 million yen, as we explained in the Q3 announcement, but this was not reflected in the revision. So from the start of Q3, we already knew that we were behind the plan, but it's mostly about the revenue recognition. And that is why, in the end, we did not really fill the gap. So as Negi said, on a pre-gap basis, it is according to expectation, but net sales, we didn't really achieve. This is basically due to the revenue recognition. Excuse me, what was 800 million yen? This is the Q3 recognition impact. Oh, I see. I remember you saying that. We made a downward revision, and after the downward revision, there was something else that happened in between this period. So Q3 revenue recognition was not reflected in our 37 billion yen forecast. So Q3 and Q4 revenue recognition was basically not in line with our expectation. Thank you very much for your very detailed explanation. That's very clear. Additional questions. What about guidance of this fiscal year? I understand you're using new accounting standard and the gap in revenue recognition, well, would not happen because this is going to be apple to apple. Yes, exactly. It's going to be apple to apple compared to the fiscal year, previous fiscal year. Okay, I understand. And you are always focused on net sales rather than profit. And the last term, you had maybe FX problem and the revenue was suffering. But this new guidance, are you paying extra attention to the profit this time around? What do you mean by that question? Well, Negi-san, you say that the net sales is more important than profit usually. And in the previous fiscal year, you had FX and some assumptions that did not work. And for this fiscal year, I feel like you may have paid more attention in terms of planning the profit. I just wanted to check my understanding is correct. Well, as Eva mentioned, in the last couple of years, we have hired people and done many things, so investment will continue. Productivity improvement will also happen, which will help push up the profit. Oh, I see. And Arai-san, I have a question to you. Guidance for Japan, don't you think this is too weak? Cybersecurity, that is the theme that people are shifting to. And why only 3% or lower end of the single digit? Why not double digit, but low end of the single digit growth? Arai-san, can you please answer this question? Well, rather than the low end of the single digit, Japan is always lagging behind the European and American markets, as you may know. And this year, we understand that there are many opportunities, but on the other hand, as we found out, well, shift to cloud will mostly happen in 2024. And in 2023, we have to get ourselves ready. And we need to implement midterm plans or measures. That's what's important for FY23. And as I have mentioned before, we have to strengthen the team. We need to be clever with this. We are also planning for new services too, and it will take time for these new initiatives to take root. In terms of profitability, internal organizational structure is already being worked on. It's not about headcount reduction or increase. We are actually talking about transforming our business into something that is suited to the market, and that will take some time. So please understand it that way. Maybe I'm giving a more conservative point of view. I understand. So direct sales being increased and the platform solution and XDR to promote that, maybe direct sales is better. And shifting people to more to direct sales rather than using agencies or distributors. Well, one of the things that we are trying to do is really understand the end user behaviors and reflect that into our activities. That's really important. So we're talking about internal changes, transformations. And we have a partner business as well, and we have been doing this for decades. This is still important to us. And the mechanism for that is already in place. And how to contact the end users? Well, we want to increase the contact points, and that's how we are changing our activities. I hope that answers your question. Yes, that's clear. Thank you. So we intend to promote this strongly. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you very much for the questions. Now we will unmute the next person. If you're unmuted, please identify your name and company. This is Kikuchi. This is from SMBC Nikko Securities. There are three questions, and there's some overlap with previous questions. First of all, Mr. Negi, around the 10th of November, when you made an explanation about the results for the new fiscal year, you explained about the points, but you've seen that it's lower than your outlook. And after you made a downward revision, the numbers are lower. But it seems then the goals for the new fiscal year has changed. And there is the new accounting system that has already been carried out. But when it comes to the profit outlook, it seems that it has gone down compared to the past. It's just a slight increase, and it may not have been precisely calculated. So are there any reasons for this? No, I'm sure that your feeling about this has not changed. Are you just being conservative? That's the first question I have. Thank you. In this regard, one thing, before November, for the first half, we were going smoothly, but the external environment started to influence things in the second half, and with that, expenses were incurred, and this year, we will have those expenses reflected for the full fiscal year this year, and if we strive for a higher productivity, then things could get better. So, rather than error on in our outlook, we want to look at it. And as we see increase in net sales, then the profits will also increase and we will be able to achieve more continuity. But rather than generate profits by reducing expenses on the short term, we may lose out on opportunities. So, for the profits, I believe that we have reached one turning point. You say that it's a turning point. What do you mean? Well, for 2 years, we see a decrease in profits, and I believe that it's a turning point from that trend. I see. The second question. This came up in the discussion about Japan. When we look at the results in Japan, over the past several years here in Japan, Japan's business had supported your company, especially a little while ago, over the past 5 years, the shop, there were sales, and the consumer sales were pressed up by 10 billion yen in 4 years, which is quite a large number. However, on a quarter-to-quarter basis, it had been solidly increasing. But from last year, from the first quarter to the fourth quarter, it's become more flat. And on a quarterly basis, perhaps you've peaked out despite the impact of Docomo stores. It seems that way at any rate. And for the Japan guidance, you have this growth outlook. And for the consumer mobile channel, is it possible that you're assuming that there will not be much growth? There's the Docomo shops and there's some shop operations that have been acquired. So do you believe that in your guidance you indicated the consumer business may change from here onwards? Mr. Arai? What do you think? For the Japanese, well, we are looking at the corporate market as well as the overseas market. And what about the mobile business, Mr. Arai? Well, as mentioned, in regards to the mobile shops, there's more integration taking place. There is reorganization that is taking place. And there are risk factors there, we believe. But for the mobile demand itself, we don't think that this will go down. Under those circumstances, we are dependent on device shipments. I think that there's a direct impact. Meanwhile, in regard to what we're trying to make an effort on is, as mentioned, we're looking at beyond device security. So we're not just focusing on the device itself. We're looking at how to provide added value to our customers. And that's how we intend to carry out our transformation. So for our customers, we want to offer the right type of security in these consumer business as well. And when we look at this, it may seem as if the mobile shop business is flat, but for this business model, there's several patterns, and it's difficult to answer what will be the case, but that's an aspect that needs to be taken into consideration. I see. Well, I'd like to ask about details later, but the third question, in regard to return to shareholders, I'd like to confirm about how this will take place. Well, you mentioned about 50 billion in excess capital, and you'll be looking at 25 billion for buyback. And then after calculations, we don't know when, but there may be another 25 billion buyback. And starting from next fiscal year, from fiscal 2025, it is the 70% payout ratio, and then there's the buyback. And in aside from the dividends, you'll be looking at the excess capital as of December, and if there's hardly any change, then after the end of the fiscal year, about 30% of net income will be for buyback and 70% for dividend. But from the profits, you'll subtract the dividend portion and you'll look at the 30% buyback. And when you announce the fiscal results, the numbers will be realized then. In regard to our working capital, and in regard to other aspects that cannot be calculated, we don't know specifically what will happen. But in regard to buyback, we'll be looking at the payout ratio, and we'll increase the efficiency of the balance sheet, and we're looking at 25 billion. And for the remaining 25 billion, we'll look at the excess capital situation, and we believe we should be able to do that extent. And we'll look at how much capacity we have by calculating, and we'll explain about it. I see. Naturally, as a company, there may be other factors that cause increases, but if we, I think that we are able to move forward on the 100% basis for the time being. So there's a period of adjustment, and you'll be looking at what kind of appropriate level of cash level is necessary. And once you make the adjustments, you're not sure when that will be concluded, but once that is concluded, then for working capital or M&A capital, you'll need to have some amount. But then otherwise, 70% will be for dividend and 30% for stock buybacks. And that's the nature of the announcement for return to shareholders. Yes, that's the format we're thinking about. And for the remaining 25 billion, when we consider the 50 billion, let's say that there's 25 billion and then the remaining 25 billion. It seems to be quite easy to calculate, but is there any barriers to the calculations? Well, we have to look at the balance sheet of the parent company and the excess capital as of the end of December. So we have to look at the surplus situation there. To explain, Mr. Kikuchi mentioned about dividends from the subsidiaries that can be used. But according to corporate law, that can be done, that cannot be done. And so we have the 25 billion. This has been decided on the board of directors meeting. And for the 25 billion for dividends, this is on a non-consolidated basis. And this. That will be the limit as far as surplus, and we will not be able to do more for 2023. But even if we have the dividends with the subsidiaries, we have to wait until February of next year before we can be able to use this as surplus capital. And so for the current dividend and the buyback, no further efforts can be made for 2023 because the balance sheet for the non-consolidated results is not clear yet. And so for the remaining 25 billion, it will be something that will be coming up from next fiscal year onwards. Yes, it can be expressed in different way, but it was mentioned about 50 billion. And there's an appropriate cash level that is not clear to us yet. But if we are able to have, if you have an annual income of 10 million, then it's like trying to buy a car for 1 million yen. So it depends on the impact on one's life. So we're looking at what level of cash is necessary and what level we are able to spend is a matter which we are still calculating. I see. Thank you very much. That concludes my questions.
Thank you. I will unmute the microphone for the next person. Please state your affiliation and name. Yes, my name is Watanabe Mitsui Sumitomo Asset Management. I have several questions. About the revenue recognition impact, from the first quarter to fourth quarter, it continuously went up. And in other companies, usually the number tends to decline toward the end of the year, but in your case, it increased toward the fourth quarter. So why is the impact bigger in the fourth quarter? And Asia Pacific's impact is really big in the fourth quarter. Can you really can you explain why? Yes, I would like to try to explain this. As Negi-san mentioned, cost-wise, cost of goods is pushed up by the higher ratio of hardware. And the hardware sales revenue recognition changed under the new accounting standards. That is the biggest factor for this Q4. Well, last year we would have been able to include everything in the revenue, but now we have to defer the revenue. So net sales is small, but cost is higher. That is why the profit level is lower. And in Asia Pacific, we saw a more pronounced impact of this. Well, software capitalization, is this the line item we were talking about? Yes, in terms of cost of goods, yes. Tipping point hardware and cloud edge hardware. Can you please explain these? Well, cloud edge in Japan is one, and in other regions in Asia, I think it's a tipping point, deep discovery, and TX1 for IoT. I think those were the big factors. I understand. Sato-san asked a question earlier about the impact of revenue recognition, and it was not really identified during the revision, and that basically pushed down the profit by 3 billion, and that's 5.7 billion in the fourth quarter, downward revision. In the beginning of November, when you made the revision, maybe you didn't know it was revenue recognition, but you knew that the profit was going down. So I think this was already reflected in the number. Is this understanding wrong? I would not say it's wrong, but hardware product mix in Q4 was a little bit different. Software and license renewal would not have been impacted as much. So in terms of a sales mix, high ratio of hardware was not expected in the beginning. But that's limited to the fourth quarter. And the 700-800 million yen in the third quarter profit. Well, if the question is a Q3, a revenue recognition impact had to be analyzed post-mortem. So this was a reverse calculation after the results came in. When we made announcement on the 10th of November, and with the numbers on the 2nd of November, and we actually knew the impact after the fact. Oh, I see. You had the total number. Maybe you didn't know the details, but the number was already available to you. Is that correct? No, the number was available to us afterwards. On the 2nd of November, we didn't know how much of this was impacted by revenue recognition. I understand that you don't know the impact or breakdown, but you already had the overall number. So 5.7 billion down, and out of that, 3 billion is impacted by revenue recognition. I think this is too exaggerated, because in the third quarter, you already knew about the numbers. So 700, 800 million was already included, which means that maybe 2.2 or 2.3 billion was the downward factor. What about the remaining factor? Well, I don't think it is really true, because in the third quarter, we said that our outlook already included, it was not including the 800 million yen behind the plan. So with the actual in Q3, we were already behind by 800 million against the plan, as we explained. Okay, that's fine. What about the remaining half? 2.7 billion down, and we know how much is the revenue recognition. And I think that's that explains the net sales decline. But the profit was still further down by 2.7 billion. How can you explain this? I'm not quite sure what you mean by this. I'm not following your logic. So 11.1 billion was a target, and you did 5-something, and 5.7 was the gap for the fourth quarter. And for the net sales, I understand this was mostly due to revenue recognition. And I understand that part. So it's not the top line factor. There must have been some cost factor to push down the profit even further. Well, so your question is, these factors don't cover everything. So I said these are the major factors. It's only 50%. Well, there are multiple factors. And as Negi-san mentioned, sales commission is one factor. Pre-gap. If a difficult product is sold, then they would receive a bigger bonus. And these people achieve their quota and receive the big commissions, for example. So sales line commission, several hundred of millions yen. And also outside services. For Japanese consumer mobile channel, the business is strong, as we have explained. And also U.S. legal cost in Q2 and Q3, and also in Q4, went up. These are the some of the cost factors. Which was higher or stronger than when we made assumptions for Q3. So 5.6 billion is reflective of those. But the revenue recognition is still the biggest factor, as I explained. Right. Number of headcount. In the third quarter, there was an increase of about 300 quarter on quarter. And I asked a question about the outlook for the fourth quarter. And you said for the third quarter, this was mostly for Asia Pacific. And they started hiring for the first time in 3 years, and this is just temporary. And Japan, America, and Europe only increased slightly. And in the fourth quarter, you didn't expect a big increase. But now, outside of Japan, you increase the headcount a lot, in total 160 or so. Why did you increase so much? And for the next fiscal year, is it going to be really 300? That seems too little. Right. When third quarter number was disclosed, we were not really freezing higher. So we were making offers, and there's a time lag until people actually join the company. So in the fourth quarter, some of the headcounts were already decided in the third quarter. I don't understand what's happening, and that is why I'm asking. You say that there's not going to be much headcount increase, but there was a big increase, and I understand there's time lag, of course, and that is why I'm questioning your forecast of 300. In the first quarter and second quarter, there may be some time lags. For the full year, are you going to stick to 300? Well, right. But depending on how the environment changes, we have to explain to you the new factors at the earnings announcement. understand. Thank you.